question.
News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, a lot going on. A drama in the studio with microphones. That's what that noise is. Stop it. You're going to break it.
There. Okay.
Uh-huh. You feel better now?
I'm happier
Shall
now.
We start this hour with the like we normally do?
Yes, we should.
Beating up a microphone?
That's right.
Okay. It's a history moment coming here, and it's produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her history moment today is about establishing a girls' school in San Elizario in 1878.
The idea was bold for its time. In 1878, close friends and former Texas Ranger commanders Teleflores Montes and Gregario N. Garcia were community leaders and partners in the important growth of San Elizario from a sleepy village into a growing economic force. A public school for boys had been recently established at Garcia's former residence, Los Portales. But Montes and Garcia, both fathers of young girls, felt that girls needed to be educated as much as young boys, an idea that was quite bold for its time. So in early 1879, they met with San Elizario priest Peter Bourgard, and it was agreed that the priest contact the sisters of Loreto in Santa Fe and request nuns be sent to San Elizario to open the first Loretine school in Texas, St. Joseph's Academy. It would be the first Catholic preparatory school for girls and young women in the Southwest. Here they would receive a rigorous and challenging education in a supportive environment. Montes and Garcia's own granddaughter Maria, daughter of Marina Montes and Carlos Garcia, was a valedictorian of her graduating class at St. Joseph Academy in 1892. This was the last class to graduate from the St. Joseph Academy in San Elizario before the academy was moved to El Paso. In 1923, St. Joseph's Academy closed, and the new Loreto Academy, a 7-acre campus, would open in Austin Terrace. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
I couldn't figure out what was Bernie playing on a piano there?
Oh, he was playing from Pirates of the Penzance. Bit my tongue. Penzance.
That sounded vaguely familiar.
Yes.
Well, that's the History Alliance thing you do there on Facebook.
Yes.
You're on Facebook, too.
That's right. We're on Facebook. There are over 50,000 people now.
Right?
Yeah, it's amazing how many people are it's amazing people are really interested in history. And another great place that you find lots of people interested in history is Remember in El Paso, which is administrated by Barbara Given-Bainey.
And also, this week, we're featuring Rose Matthews.
Oh, Rose.
Rose is a Rose.
She's busy out there, you know, putting pictures up and stories and history and just great stuff. Yeah, they're volunteers.
But the pictures.
Oh,
if you want to wallow in some pictures of El Paso history, that's the place to go.
Or some to share. Put him up there.
Yeah, go by their rules and deal with them. Hey, we got to pick a Pepe's. Are you ready for this?
Pepe.
We have our guests are still here. Is anybody going to make it to Pepe's? You're not going to make it to Pepe's today?
I don't think I can make it.
We'd have to pack you a lunch because you have to go all the way to the other end of the county to get home. But if you don't mind.
East Texas.
Pick a special here, Al Borrego. And anything on that page there, whatever you say. Now, the chili rellenos are always picked, so maybe think about something else. If you want them, that's okay. But whatever you pick becomes a special at Pepe's today, and it turns into $6, whatever it was.
Okay, let's see.
Uh-huh. This isn't that hard.
Anything, right?
Yeah.
I'd say you should do combination plate number 3.
Number 3, combo 3. All right. The control room likes that one, too. Combo three is the pick at Pepe's. It's $6 today.
With a beer.
With a
there
beer.
There you go.
The beer is extra. The beer is extra, but you can do that because he has a full bar out there. So anyway. Yes. Pepe 6761 Donovan, great place.
He has the one and only margarita.
Yes, indeed. He's trained us pretty well. Oh, so it goes. All right, moving on to the history at hand here. San Luis Nazario, you've got a major conference coming up. When does it begin and what's in it?
Can I tell you something, a couple of tidbits before we get going
sure,
on that?
Sure, anywhere.
So a cool story is the Loreto Academy thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember the date. What was the date that they
1878.
Did it? Okay. Yeah, before that. So there's a story that I read in Phoenix at the church. I was in a church there, and they had a tidbit in their little thing they give at the church, whatever they call that thing. And it was about the sisters, these nuns were moving south from Santa Fe. And come to find out, it's the nuns that were coming in these wagons to San Elizario. And these bandits went and were going to rob these nuns. And this young guy comes up and stops them, tells them they can't rob the nuns. So they left him alone. The young guy, Billy the Kid.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Isn't that a cool story?
That's bizarre.
Yeah. I would believe it, though.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from?
If I saw it in the church in Phoenix. They actually sent me the missalette or whatever they call that thing.
Okay, but how many movies could you make out of Billy the Kid?
Isn't that something?
Santa Lazario tidbit.
There's a piece of the Santa Lazario movie and with Billy the Kid in it. Right. Here comes the nuns and he saves them.
Save the nun.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And then one more piece of history before we go forward, and it's brand new history, and that's our Santa Lazario High School soccer team.
Ooh.
That are second time state champions.
Excellent.
As of yesterday.
Excellent. Yay. Yay. The crowd goes wild. Where's the crowd?
Yay.
There they are. I see them.
The crowd goes wild. But no, that's great
then
stuff.
That's like major history.
Oh, it is.
That is great. Glad
making history as we go.
Yeah. So getting on to our, our conference. It's our 28th annual conference. And our third annual Rio Grande Festival, which we added on to the conference, obviously, 3 years ago. But the conference is the 25th through the 28th this next weekend. It starts on Thursday, and it'll start in Juarez.
Oh.
And what we've done a whole, we call it a day tour of Mexico for anybody that wants to go that has a passport can go there. We're going to have a couple of buses in San Lazario. Those buses are called the Transbord bus lines. I think they call them the border jumper here, the yellow bus.
Okay.
Not a school bus, a yellow bus. And this day tour, you got to be in San Lazario by 7 a.m. It does have a cost involved. It's $24.
It already costing me to get
but
up at that
But this is
hour.
What it does. This is what it does. It departs San Lazario, and it goes to the Museum of Archaeology at the Chamizal.
Oh.
We cross over into Mexico. We have a police escort that's going to escort us to move us rapidly. Mm. And we'll have some talks there at the museum. With a couple of people from INAH, which is the Instituto Nacional de Antropología y Historia, the National Institute of Archaeology and History in Mexico. These are the people that when buildings fall down, they're the ones that fix them. They're like the preservation experts and know-it-all in Mexico.
Oh, really?
And they'll be talking there at the museum. About Samalayuca, which is the North American continent's largest moving sand dune on the other side of the river there. And they'll be talking about that and the Sierra de Samalayuca, which is the little mountain range that there where they've discovered over 10,000 petroglyphs.
Hmm.
And it's part of the area where Don Juan de Oñate turned when he headed towards San Elizario. So they've got pre-Hispanic petroglyphs, and then they got modern-day graffiti as well. But all of that's in. They're going to talk about that. We get a tour of the museum.
This is on the Thursday?
On Thursday. Starts at 7 in the morning, crosses us over. They'll do a tour of the museum there, which has a great new exhibit there. And then we'll board the buses, and we'll drive out to Samalayuca, to the dunes.
Oh, put your toes in the
sand.
Yeah,
you get out there, and you get into that little sierra, which is a little mountain, and the archaeologist from INAH, his name's Enrique Chacon, he's the guy that discovered most of them.
What's different about that sand?
It's
red.
It has a pink tint to it.
Yeah,
they
it's
have a
really wild looking
flower that develops there when the quick rain hits and the wind's blowing, as you know, it makes these little flowers. They call them La Rosa del Desierto. And that it's these little, they sell them. There's these little.
Oh, I've seen those.
Seen those?
Yeah,
they,
I didn't.
They look like little
that's
roses.
Where they're, yeah.
That's where they come from.
I had no idea that's where they came from.
So the bus will go there. We'll have like an hour or two there with short treks into there to see the petroglyphs and stuff. Then we'll board and we'll go to a ranch out on the dunes where they'll have a meal for us. It's a carne asada out there in the middle of the dunes. Then you'll get to put your toes in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll board and probably, this isn't definite yet because it depends on time, we'll stop at a sotelera and tour that. That's where they make sotol. And then we'll cross back into San Elizario, but we're going to cross back in Tornio to avoid the heavy lines.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good place to cross.
So we'll cross over there and come back across. That's on day one. You can still get on the bus. It'll leave at 7 in the morning. Just give us a call at 915-974-7077.
What number is that?
That's the Adobe Horseshoe. That's where everybody's meeting.
Okay.
And you can get a ticket, or you can go online. AdobeHorseshoe.com, and you'll see go under tickets, and you'll find the.
So this is day one only.
Day one of
the
conference.
Keep going, keep going.
Then day two, we start there at the Adobe Horseshoe, where we've had the conference every year now for the past few years. And we'll start with a variety of speakers. We've got a little over 20, I think we've got 26 now at
my
this point.
My gosh.
And we've got two unconfirms that we're holding on.
Now, what is somebody going to learn at a conference? I mean, we hear about genealogy, and I think it's got even more promotion now that you've got all the DNA tests
right
out there and such. So, I mean, how is this going to help somebody that maybe perhaps just got a DNA test and now they're kind of interested in what genealogy is all about?
I think our conference, we concentrate on the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, mm-hmm, which goes from Mexico City all the way to north of Santa Fe to Okeowengue, which is the old San Juan de los Caballeros, north of Española. And that's the area we cover on the conference. So it gives you an idea of how people got to this area.
Right. Because there's a lot of people here I know have gotten their tests that are from El Paso.
Sure.
So this would help them,
sure,
perhaps.
It'll tell you where your
maybe
family
north,
comes
south,
from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'll ask. I did last year, the soccer team from last year, I was with them at the courthouse when they got their resolution done.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, watch this example of this, because it's at the same time.
Yeah.
And I asked five of the boys, I asked them, I said, so where's your family from? And they're like, well, Durango, Delicias, Chihuahua, Hidalgo, Parral.
Right.
And that tells you that's where the family, how did they get here? On the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro.
Exactly.
So that's how they're coming up here. So that's what this conference is about. We have speakers from Mexico City that'll be here speaking on that end, and we've got a speaker from Española speaking on the far
north
end.
Side, yeah.
So they'll come in and they'll talk about what they're doing, their culture, their history, and their heritage, which is all of ours put together.
It's connected.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter even where you come from, because ultimately you become part of this, and guess where you're at? You're on the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro.
Do you find, I my thought is, and it's a little bit off the beaten path, but and you have the same kind of trails, whether it be the Camino Real, though they go all, there's many of them across the country, but you have other parts of the United States where you have some similar trails where people came from the East Coast, went to Ohio and Pennsylvania, but it just seems that the Camino Real seems a little bit more connected in my mind than perhaps some of the trails back east.
Because it's the first highway in the United States,
yeah,
are part of it, and then it goes 1,600 miles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is a massive connection. Now, in Mexico for many years, the Camino Real was from Mexico City to Zacatecas, which was called the Camino de la Plata, the Silver Road. That's what it was. It wasn't until 1593 when Oñate started talking about coming north, mm-hmm, with the expedition, and then established the actual rest of the highway, that it became the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. the actual Camino Real de Tierra Adentro was from Santa Barbara, which is in the southern part of Chihuahua, to Okeowengue up in the north.
And what does Tierra Adentro
It's the translate? Royal Highway to the Interior Lands.
Okay, because a lot of people ask me, and I know it, but I wanted to translate that for other people that may not understand.
There's a lot of confusion on the Camino Real because everybody thinks everything's a Camino Real, but it's not.
Yeah.
A Camino Real is a road that is sanctioned by the king. There's a lot of Caminos, like there's a Camino from the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro, a Camino a Santa Fe, because the Camino didn't originally go through Santa Fe. It became a Camino a Santa Fe. Same thing in the south. There's a Camino a Querétaro. There's a Camino a Janos. So there's a lot of Caminos, but they're not Camino Reales.
Yeah, I grew up in California on the Camino Real in California.
You get on the Camino Real, which started on the north up in Santa Rosa and goes all the way down to San Jose there in near Cabo.
So we got the one that's Real.
Right. We're a Real. There's another Real that leaves from Mexico City, and that's a Camino Real de Tierra Afuera. That one goes from Mexico City to Louisiana. It used to be called El Camino de los Franceses because the French were over there. So those are the two main ones. Later on, we ended up with Camino Real de Texas. I don't know where that one came from, but it's there now, so it's there. So
okay, you ready for a test?
Yeah.
Trivia.
Oh.
All of this knowledge here, now you're ready for a test?
Right, I forgot to get trivia.
We've
got
to have trivia happening here.
Oh, my gosh.
At that moment here. Alberto's in the house. George Sanchez is here. We're talking all kinds of history going through Santa Lazaria.
Santa Lazaria.
We haven't talked about the Salt War yet. We got to get to that.
Yeah, we do, yes.
What do you have in the way of questions for the trivia?
Well, the first question is, where is the home of the San Elizario Genealogy and Historical Society?
You want the building.
Yes, the building we want the building.
Okay.
Where is their home? And the second one is the San Elizario Genealogy and Historical Society has copies of records. Church records, name one of those.
What kind of records?
Yeah, what kind of records?
Okay.
All right. And then we have a third one.
I threw a third question.
You threw a third one in there. I was like, where'd that one? I didn't do that one, did I? The San Elizario Catholic Church is different from Socorro and the Yesleta churches. What is that difference?
What is
we always talk
in
about
the
that one. That one should be engraved on people's minds by this point.
But it's not.
And I know, but we talk about it every time.
But if you answer these correctly by calling us on the phone, what do you get?
You get a $20 gift certificate to Pepe's. And I hope you have three.
Wow, we actually do.
Oh, okay.
So nobody won one last week, so I kept one.
Aha. So answer those questions. Call us by 544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief, the best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-973-7700. 800-973-7700. 800-973-7700.
Optima Tax Relief.
Hey, hon, TV antenna's broken. We can't get our channel.
The antenna is fine. Give me the remote.
What? No.
I need the remote to fix it. We need to rescan for local channels.
Oh, you know everything, huh?
Well, yes, I do. But you were right here with me when they aired the announcement about changes in the broadcast frequency.
Really?
Yeah. Here, it's easy to rescan. You do it.
Okay.
Instructions are at fcc.gov/TV rescan or call 1-888-CALL-FCC.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We got people on hold here. Be there, be square. There's actually one line open, 544-5876. We've got three lines. We've got three questions. Maybe fill that up. We'll get you some peppy stuff. Coming in next week, Ron Lyman's back, this time for Preservation Month in Hour 1, and the Isleta Historical Marker in Hour 2. There's a biggie going on down there. It's a Trost building, and they're going to make a big deal out of putting a marker on the high school. That's coming up on April 27th. We talk about it. May the 4th, on the air, May the 4th, both hours, the Mexican Revolution book about the Castillo people with Cindy Medina and some of the Castillo people, and their relatives will be here. Oh, here we go, Trains on the Brains. May the 11th, Woody Bear and Ron Lyman again. They're talking about how to explain the big train show coming to the park on Hawkins Boulevard. That's the park down there that's just past the first entrance to Freeport MacMoran. Go to the second one. Anyway, 2 days of exhibits, reenactments, tours of the big locomotive, 3420. Plus, you can get in the caboose and hang out. They don't have cabooses anymore. Go see one. May 18th, former El Paso Mayor Larry Francis talks about his tenure and how the El Paso Electric Company was part of Downtown Real Estate. He's the guy who saw all the details. Mm-hmm. I don't think we ever heard all the details. We may on the 18th. And May 25, got Bernie coming back, more A to Z history. What you got?
Okay, I've got events happening out at the Museum of Archaeology. Today, the Archaeology Society's lecture is from William Key, and he's speaking on the rock art of the Sahara. View now and a view as discovered. This topic is on the world's largest art museum in the Sahara Desert and the images found within the desert and some history based on the scientific imaging. April 22nd at 2 p.m., they're going to have old-time religion, the Salado phenomenon in the greater Southwest. And a speaker is Alan Dart. He's a registered professional archaeologist. And May 11th at 2 p.m., they have the earliest Apache in the Southwest and the evidence and arguments by Denny Seymour, Ph.D. And it's time to sign up your kids and grandkids for the popular kids' summer camp at the El Paso Museum of Archaeology. And they learn about ancient cultures and field trips, and it's a fun introduction to archaeology for kids. Lectures are free, and call the museum if you have more questions, and it's just a great place to go.
That's good stuff out there. All right, going to trivia here. We got Charles on the phone, Charles on the radio. Good morning, Charles.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning, Charles. Okay. Ooh, got some wind behind you there. Okay. The first question you were going to answer?
I was going to answer the question about the differences between the various churches.
Okay, all right. Why don't you go ahead and answer that one for me? The San Elizario Catholic Church is different than the other, the Socorro and Isleta Mission churches. Why?
Well, it is different in the fact that the San Elizario or San Elizario was a chapel of the Presidio, the Spanish Presidio, whereas the...
Turn your head out of the wind, dude. We're getting a lot of wind noise. Turn your head.
Well, I'm up on a roof.
Okay, oh. Well, just turn. There you go.
I could hear me.
That's better. Go ahead.
Right. So anyway, the San Elizario, or San Elizario, was a chapel of the Spanish Presidio, whereas Isleta and Socorro were actual Franciscan missions. That's the difference.
He got it right.
Was not a mission.
Right. San Elizario was a Presidio chapel.
Yeah, he
and
got
the shape of the churches, we'll take your answer, but the shape of the churches was also different.
Yeah. No, he had that.
Oh, I didn't realize. Yeah, no. Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, you see the difference. The one was the San Elizario is basically a box, and the other two are crosses.
Right.
Okay. And also, I want to know, what are you doing with a radio up on your roof?
Well, the radio's on the ground.
Oh, I see. Hello, we're on the ground talking to that man up on the roof. There he is. Look out. Don't jump.
I'm enjoying a beautiful sunshiny day here.
Oh, good
That's
for you.
Well, you be careful up there.
Give him a coupon already.
He wins. So we just stay on the line, and Shelley will talk to you and get that information, but don't fall off.
Thanks
for listening.
Hold on there. Don't go away. All right, you got a winner there, and we'll see what happens. Phew. We have more questions, but the other caller dropped off. So.
Oh, they must have the answer to that one.
We're going to eat their food.
That's right.
So it goes. All right, back into the reality of what we're doing here. And sometimes it makes more sense than others. But today is San Elizario. A lot of tremendous history in the region has occurred in San Elizario. there are several things we haven't gotten to, and I think if people want to know more about the history of San Elizario, they really should come to your conference.
That's right.
Alborrego.
Yeah, the conference will cover probably 400 years of history.
And that starts on April the 25th
in Mexico, and then we start on the 26th in San Elizario.
That's like next weekend.
All 3 days.
Next weekend, yeah.
Right.
Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah. We've got a lot of history talk. We've got a lot of stuff on the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. That's why we kind of concentrate on that, because our effort is to make the rest of the Camino Real UNESCO World Heritage Trail. See, it's only a UNESCO World Heritage Trail from Mexico City to Valle de Allende, which is the southern part of Chihuahua. It's the only city in Chihuahua. So part of it in Mexico is not UNESCO, neither is at no part of it in the U.S. We are a U.S. National Trail.
What happens if you become UNESCO in this side, in the U.S.?
Well, I think nothing specific. Of course, we get the title.
Right.
But I think our economic development has great possibilities. You get a lot more tourism. You know, the Grand Canyon's a UNESCO site, the Carlsbad Caverns. So it
Casas Grandes is, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Pacime, yeah. So you start getting a lot of people that are driving around. They'll hear about you better. I mean, you'll be in all the books.
Bigger recognition.
Yeah, big.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's huge.
They don't give you financial. They just give you more recognition
than
anything
correct.
Else.
Yeah, that's what it is. It takes some work, you know, and that's what we've been doing for years now. And it starts with building relationships with the rest of the cities and towns on the Camino, so that once we all get together and we create the nomination, we've got our ducks in a row. So the more history stuff that you can put in there, like traditions, gastronomy, photographs, actual buildings and sites, all of those things have to be identified so that you can put them in the nomination. Then UNESCO sees whether it's worth it or not.
So you got to make a book report, a big
pretty
one,
much
a big
huge
one.
Yeah, and that's what Mexico did on the south.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have in this conference is a lot of people. One primarily, which is one of the state directors of INAH, the state of Sonora. He was the primary guy that did the work for the Mexico designation, which was in 2010. So those speakers will be here to tell us this is how it's done. This is how we did it. This is the criteria.
Okay.
So that's the primary focus. That's why for years we've been building those relationships.
So you're connecting the rest of the Camino Real in America to the existing World Heritage
that's
Camino Real
uh-huh.
in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Because they just crossed the river and keep going.
That's right.
Yeah. And everybody needs to realize that every piece of the Camino Real is just as important as the next one.
There you go.
Because if you don't have this piece of the Camino Real, you don't have a Camino Real.
Yeah. You have a break in the road.
Well, all through New Mexico, I've interviewed a bunch of people in New Mexico about Camino Real, and they all think they own it.
Right.
Right in front of their house is the only place it exists.
Right.
And I'm
that
telling
is
the guy
it.
Up in Socorro, New Mexico, look, dude, it comes through El Paso. And he says, no, you don't have any ruts in the desert anymore. I said, dude, we're still using our Camino Real.
Yeah.
You people
it's
look
paved.
At it as a museum in the desert. You know, big difference.
Yeah, and that's what we say in our committee. We have a bi-national committee that's doing this, which makes it very unique with UNESCO, because there's only been one other time that a bi-national effort was done. And It's really interesting. I mean, you've got all these people that, like you say, think that's it, and it's not. So our saying is the reason we're doing this is we don't want the history of the Camino Real to be confined to exhibits and museums.
Right.
We live it every day, and we want the world to know about it.
Socorro Road, there it is, right
there,
in front
yeah.
of your house almost.
You look at it, yeah.
All right, taking a break here one more time, and we've got to do that and come back and do... We're going to come back and talk about El Paso, Inc.
I think so.
Because they need to be talked about.
Yes, they
are. And also, I want to thank the people in the control room.
Those people?
You got your basic Shelley Sutherland somewhere in there.
Are you in there, Shelley?
Wherever she is.
There she is. I see her hand.
I see her. She's still there answering the phone. Thank you for that. And the man who does the electrons is
Sergio Valenzuela.
That's like he scored a goal, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And he always does. Thank you.
That's because he's on the soccer team down there in San Jose.
It's good of him to do that because he keeps us honest here. In the meantime, shall we take a break?
Yes, we shall.
Call us if you like.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, this week, you ready? This week only. Are you ready?
Sure.
You didn't say you were ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, this week only in El Paso, Inc.
At stake in the May 4th election, the future of 1,000 acres of land in northwest El Paso.
Also in the Inc., an Austin lawyer has purchased a tired high-rise in downtown El Paso. What he plans to do with it?
These El Paso car owners are born to be bug wild. Get your motors running for the Volkswagen Car Show.
Oh boy, El Paso Inc. is El Paso's only weekly business and lifestyle journal.
To read El Paso Inc. and to order your subscription, go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, Las Cruces High School is the latest place recently arrived migrants are being housed. This Sunday night, a special edition of ABC 7 Extra goes on the road to Las Cruces to explore why and how.
Watch ABC 7 Extra Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. right after the news.
How'd you get 11 out of that?
I'm on Central Time.
I don't
obviously,
have a clue.
You got me started when you're over there choking and gasping.
Oh,
yes,
sure,
it's your fault. Yes,
whatever.
Let's blame Jackson.
Well, sure, why not?
No, it was the blue screen that got me cracking up.
Well, my computer took itself over.
Yes.
It's on 26% of killing itself.
It's got a cross eye and a tongue sticking out at you going, eh.
Kind of nutty over there. Hey, Shelly, do you got a call for us? If you do, we'll put them on now because otherwise we're going to get so busy. Oh, it can't be the same guy. Jorge, what is on your mind?
It is the same guy, and I want to say I'm glad to have heard you mention Phoenix and Greyhound, as it was in Phoenix, my birthplace. My father was a bank clerk with them. And what I really was calling about was that in the last call I made, you mentioned the year 1834. What relevance does 1834 have to San Lazario? And the reason I asked was because does San Lazario have any direct have anything to do directly with Texas War of Independence, San Antonio, in any way, the Alamo?
I don't think so.
No. Well, so after...
Al?
No, the only thing, the only relevance it has is the town of Guerrero in Coahuila, which is on the Mexican side, which where the Camino Real de Tierra Fuera goes through. There, The only combination we have is they are one of our sister cities in San Elizario because they are one of the last three presidios on the Rio Grande. So the Presidio of Guerrero, the Presidio of Ojinaga, and San Elizario are the last presidios on the Rio Grande. So we've all become sister cities.
Well, those are more rare, actually, than missions in some cases.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, they were built for the mission.
Yeah.
So for the missions.
Well, to protect them.
Protect them, yeah. In this case, it was three here.
Right. All right, Jorge, you got that all figured out?
I think I may have, but just to be certain, then, those individuals then who reside as the individual responsible for the presidios, their title, we would say, was comandante?
Capitán.
Capitán?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then finally, what then became of San Elizario after the soldiers left in that year that they did because of the flood? What was its purpose out here then?
It continued being a presidio. Now, that was during the Mexican rule. After that, we went into the war and we had the Confederates in there. Confederates were in there for a while. Then the Union Army, the California Column, came out of Los Angeles and came in and kicked the Confederates out. They were there for a while, and then they got dispatched to Fort Davis. After they went to Fort Davis, the war ended, and then they were dispatched back to L.A. Some of them stayed in San Elizario because they met some girls there and married.
Hey.
One of them being Charles Ellis, who later became the sheriff and ended up dying in the Salt War.
That's
okay. Before the period when the Americans got themselves directly involved in San Elizario, while it was still within the domicile of Mexico, after 1829, when the soldados had left, where there were no soldiers, and the purpose of the presidio being for the housing of soldados, well, what then were they doing before the Americans jumped in?
Well, what you're asking basically is what happened to the fort after the flood?
Yeah.
Well, after the flood, the only ones left there were the Apaches and some Comanches from San Antonio that were brought there after they started the Apache Peace Camp program. The Spaniards started it, actually, before the Mexicans went in. But the Apache Peace Camp program started in 1789, and that was to calm down the Apaches so that they would be more free travel by the Spaniards. Now, the Mexicans continued it, but they stopped the program, I believe it was like 1830, right after they left there. So the only ones left were the Apaches or the natives, and they lived outside of the Presidio. So those are the people that started taking down half of the wall, moving the wall over, and started building all the outbuildings.
Out of the wall.
Out of the wall, which is the jail.
Right.
The galleries that are there now. If you stand at the galleries on Main Street, you'll see it's a straight wall all the way down to the two towers on the end, which were lookout towers.
Do you know when the barracks for the soldiers were put up in San Antonio?
Well, the barracks were obviously during when it was already a presidio, so you're looking at probably around 1790, somewhere in there, is when the barracks were. The barracks, part of the official soldier barracks are still there. And you still have three rooms that were the officers' quarters.
And what's behind all these questions is that I have once asked Sam about Luis Rey, and he mentioned that he was affiliated with San Elizario, but I never got the date when that potentially was. You wouldn't know that, would you?
I don't know that offhand, no.
Yeah, because he had mentioned it was in the time when the barricades, I believe he said, were in being put in place, but I thought his period was long past that, about 1840.
I don't think we know that one, do we?
Yeah, I don't know.
All right, we're going to move on, but Jorge, but thank you for stirring us up.
Thank you very much.
As always. All right. Oh, you mentioned the there were art galleries down there, by the way.
Right.
Escamilla has an art gallery down
there. That's correct.
And they got a big deal going on there. Maria Branch has another one, and they're located in the Pasita Madrid building, which was built in the late 1800s. What is that?
It's also one of the buildings that was built off of the wall.
So they took the wall down in adobe.
Yeah,
put it back up in this building.
Yeah, it was about a six foot wide, 14 foot tall second wall around the Presidio that they built.
Oh, a second wall. Well, these guys are having their own. They're having their ninth celebration. The art gallery is Escamilla's, April 27 and 28 from noon to 5. That's right down there in the middle of your stuff.
Sure, it's right there in the historic district.
All right, so a lot of stuff going on there, including the artist Escamilla and Maria Branch.
Yeah, we've got about 55 artists in the district that display their work there in the district.
Very talented mm-hmm. people.
Well, that's a great,
besides art, there's other things too. You've got
right. We've got the three museums. We've got a brand new restaurant that just opened up, which is Shooter's Smoking Barbecue.
Yeah, we were talking. Yeah, I want to go to that.
It's
one.
A what? Right. Shooter's Smoking Barbecue.
Oh. Right next to the jail.
That's almost as good as that Kaboom place. Today's in
today's their first official day of business.
Woohoo.
So they're open now. They got beer and barbecue and all that good stuff.
Oh, and that's on somewhere down in the plaza?
It's right next to the jail.
Right next to
the
jail. Right
good
next
place door for it. Shooter's at this moment.
You shoot there,
and they might have a band there.
Yeah, they've got an exciting thing.
Yes, I just wanted to mention something about our conference on April 26, 27, and 28.
Right.
I belong to a lot of organizations, and I go to conferences in Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Colorado. Most of them charge, you know, if you want the full, whatever is going to be done for the conference, it's around $100, $120. You can also just buy certain things. Guess what? We don't charge anything for our three-day conference. It's free.
You have underwriters you can thank for some of that, right?
Well, we have a lot of hard-working genealogy people.
Okay. But I saw you had listed a bunch of underwriters.
Yeah, we do.
But they don't take care of everything, apparently.
No, the people on our posters are basically people that are supporting what we do, that are involved in the planning. All of our speakers come in on their own dollar from Mexico City.
Oh, my.
I mean, they're all coming in. That's because INAH, the National Institute, calls San Elizario the epicenter of the Camino Real de Tierra Adentro.
It's about right.
So they feel that it's the most important spot on the Camino Real.
It's the first in the U.S. coming north.
First official.
Last going the other way. And it's also 400 miles or so for the rest of it in the U.S. And what, another 1,200?
Another 1,200 on the bottom
south
side.
Yeah. That's a great
massive road.
Nobody else in North America has this opportunity to promote themselves. We do. There's no other international road like this anywhere.
Well, there's only not in the U.S., but the only other one is in between Portugal and Spain.
Well, they don't exist in North America.
Right.
So we win.
We're it.
Yeah.
Well, we're it. Yeah.
I think it's fabulous because I always say the history here is just fabulous. If people got in tune to it, they'd find themselves enthralled with what's going on.
Sure.
And that's what I find about the San Elizario. We never really have focused much on the Salt War. Mm-hmm. If you don't mind, take a moment for that. We talked about how the Salt War happened about the same time as the Lincoln County War.
Mm-hmm.
There was all kinds of other conflicts going on. The Mexican Revolution was actually brewing back in those days. It wasn't open conflict mm-hmm. by
1877.
Yeah, but so now we get to the Salt War. What is that all about?
Yeah, that's a year after Billy the Kid broke into the jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the Salt War, you know, everybody talks about the Salt War as being the people use the salt for keeping their food cold or table salt, that
preserve.
Kind of stuff, preserve that. Well, the bottom, what the problem was is when the King of Spain, when Spain was around, the king gave the salt flats to the people. Why did he give it to the people? Well, we'll find out here quickly. He gave it to the people, so the people would haul salt from there. Everybody started, they'd haul salt to San Elizario, and they kind of ended it there. You know, okay, they hauled it to San Elizario, great, they must be eating a lot of salt. That's why there's nobody left. But what ends up happening is once we become Texas, they start to sell the salt flats off. So this family out of Austin, Zimpelman, they buy a chunk of the salt flats. And the guy's brother-in-law, which was Charles Howard out of Mesilla, New Mexico, he gets him to go and make sure that people aren't stealing salt now, because now it's his. He goes over there and finds out some people from San Elizario are taking salt. So he comes to San Elizario looking for that family, and they end up arresting him. The arresting sheriff was Charles Ellis, the guy that I tell you came from L.A.
Uh-huh.
He was the sheriff. He arrested him and said, no, can't be coming here to arrest people for taking salt. So they fined him a $12,000 bond.
Wow.
$12,000?
$12,000 in 1877.
Oh, my God. That's
huge.
Like a gazillion dollars of this.
And he, of course, didn't have the money in his pocket. But he did have $5,000. that he was able to get down to San Lazar to get him out of jail. Now, the condition was, now, Charles Ellis and a guy by the name of Lujan, Juan Lujan, rich guy there in San Lazario, put up a signature bond for him. And he paid $5,000 and with a condition he never returned to San Lazario. He left. They kept stealing salt. Sheriff changed. Sheriff Kerber. When he found out Sheriff Kerber was the new sheriff, he went back to San Lazario.
Howard came back?
Yeah, he came back. Well, they ended up, he told Kerber, hey, you know, I'm looking for the Gonzalez family. I don't know who, what family it was, but they tell him, well, they're over there in the spot. And he went over there with a militia out of New Mexico and some Texas Rangers from El Paso. They run over there. El Paso's born already, 1873. And they run over there and they surround the house. They demand for them to come out. Of course, they don't come out because there's nobody there.
Oh,
Sheriff Kerber just said that that's where they were. So when they stormed the house, the people surrounded them, held them at bay there for about a week without water or anything.
Ooh.
One of the Texas Rangers decided to crawl out and head over to the two-story building, which is the mill now. That housed the San Elisario Detachment of the Frontiersmen Battalion of the Texas Rangers.
Okay.
Of course, Howard didn't want those guys. He didn't trust them. So he brought his own guys from El Paso. He's crawling over there. People spot him. They shoot at him. He runs back into the house. He gets hit. He's the first guy to die, Texas Ranger. You can actually go to TexasRangers.com and see that. He's on the list there.
Yeah.
And the people say the priest, Father Borajo, not to be mistaken as Borrego.
Right.
Father
Borajo. Or Borracho.
Yeah, or Borracho either. He might have been Borracho. But he was the instigator. He was the political organizer and got the people riled up. They said, no, he's trying to get over to Ellis's mill, which was in Placita, Madrid, trying to get to the mill to make another deal. So they go looking for Ellis. They ransack the mill. They ransack his store. He was a big businessman. They go to his house, which is where Casa Ronquillo is.
Okay.
And they look for him. They find him in the wine cellar. They tie him to a horse, drag him around town.
Oh, jeez.
Charles Ellis, pillar of the community, was just the sheriff.
Oh, my.
They drag him around. They bring him over to that house, and they tell Howard and his agents, hey, you can surrender or we're going to kill him. He didn't want that, so he surrendered. That's how he surrendered.
Oh.
Surrenders, and they take their guns, kick the Texas Rangers out of town. They take Howard, Atkinson, and McBride. They take them over to a building, and they execute them.
Oh, my.
They execute them. Then they cut Ellis's throat.
Oh, dear.
That's the Salt War. After that, they had a big melee. They actually ransacked all the buildings. They did all kinds of damage to everything. All the rich people left, and San Elisario started to go down. That's the actual Salt War.
Well, you know, that Salt War should be a movie.
It should be.
I'm surprised it never was.
I hate to break this up. We have to take a break. Imagine that.
We're right in the middle of the story. We can't do that.
He got to the end of the story.
There's more to come.
Yeah. There's one little chunk left.
Oh, one more chunk. We'll be back in just a moment.
Indeed, used by over 3 million businesses for hiring, where business owners and HR professionals can post job openings with screener questions, then sort, review, and communicate with candidates from an online dashboard. Learn more at Indeed.com/hire.
When the world is watching, and you need your logo perfectly printed on promotional items, you need the ultimate guarantee. You need certainty. To know for certain it'll be right the first time, on the right items, at a great price. You need the promotional product experts at 4imprint. Because as soon as something has your logo on it, it matters to you, your customers, your coworkers, and to us. From pens and caps to hot tech and popular brands, 4imprint's wide selection always changes to keep up with the latest trends. But there is one thing we've delivered for over 30 years that's timeless. Certainty. Because the world is certainly watching. Explore thousands of promotional products at 4imprint.com. That's the number 4imprint.com. 4imprint. For certain.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic. which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/play. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/play. That's forhims.com/play for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/play.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Out of time this morning, I'll tell you a couple of quick things. Earth Day, today's celebration to 4 o'clock at the El Paso Museum of History. Got a lot going on down there, 510 North Santa Fe. All right, we've got, what is the date of your conference, Mr. Sanchez, George?
Before I give you the date of the conference, let me tell you just a little bit about the...
We're almost out of time here.
Okay, the salt war. The reason, I thought that people were killing each other over table salt. But that's not the case. The people were selling the salt to the miners in Mexico, because if you mix salt and mercury together, that's how you extract ore from the...
copper ore.
Silver.
Silver. Oh, yeah, silver. Okay.
Yes,
uh-huh.
Even medieval process. But that's the reason that it was very important to the people to be able to go over there and get salt to sell.
Oh, they needed the salt, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
The conference is going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 26, 27, and 29.
That's this week.
28.
Coming up this
week.
This
coming weekend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. So get involved in that
now,
immediately.
If you're lucky enough to get on the buses, then you can call up and go with us on the 25th, Thursday the 25th, to Mexico.
You have 1 minute.
Okay. So we've got the conference going on. Don't forget, we also have the Miss Camino Real de Tierra Adentro pageant, which we're bringing in girls from all over to compete.
Pageant. Okay.
The pageant. Yeah. It's a beauty pageant. We select Miss Camino Real de Tierra Adentro. She goes all over the Camino Real from one end to the other, from Mexico City North. And you asked me about bathing suit competition.
Yeah.
No, we don't have that. We'll have a cultural dress competition.
Ah.
For that, we've changed that part, make it more cultural. We also have our new presentation of the reenactment of the Oñate arrival, which is 1598. And it's a theatrical presentation inside the Adobe Horseshoe,
which is back online.
It's back on there.
Congratulations!
Yeah. And we're
on
doing
that.
And that'll start around 3:30 on Sunday. Everything's free, including that. And the other thing is our sister city celebration, which we've got five new sister cities: Valle de Allende, Hidalgo del Parral, Jimenez, Santa Eulalia, and one more. Valle de Zaragoza. Those guys are going to be sister cities with San Elisario
website,
this year.
Website to find your details?
AdobeHorseshoe.com.
Go there.
TheRioGrandFestival.com.
Alborrego, thanks for coming in here.
Thank you for having us.
George Sanchez, thanks for being here.
SanElisarioGenealogy.com.
There you go. Melissa, next week, do this again.
I think so.
EPHistory.com for details. Thank you, Control Room.
Bye. Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon. And be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.
Okay, folks, now is the one sale worth waiting for. The Crawford GMC Truck Hunt Sale is on right now.
You'll find the incredibly complete lineup of GMC trucks and SUVs.
Like this beautiful 2018 GMC Sierra Denali for $12,250 in total savings.
Let's go.